You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Melbourne, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator, Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here with today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito. I'm the senior pastor of Island Community Church, and that's where this program you're about to hear is going to emanate from. We are at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. If you are new to the area or looking for a church home, I invite you to come by and worship. Here in these sermons, you know what to expect when you come here. And we preach the Word of God verse by verse. You're about to hear a sermon now from, maybe 4 or 6 months ago. And that is 1st and 2nd Peter. We just wrapped up 1st Peter on the radio. We are going to start 2nd Peter here today. So this will play today and Monday. And then we'll be back with our new series in Philippians in the middle of the week again. But I invite you this weekend here, really would love to see you. You would be warmly greeted by our excellent church family here, and you'll really feel at home here, and you'll really experience the Holy Spirit's presence here at Island. And I personally invite you, and our church family will warmly greet you. So this weekend, that's what's going on. We're in Philippians. We're looking at the humbled and exalted Christ, Philippians chapter 2. And now again here on the radio, intro to 2 Peter. More on this ministry, the church's website, because this program is sponsored and brought to you by the church family of Island Community Church. Our website is islandcommunitychurch.net. That's the best place to learn more about us. Our statement of faith is there. There's a link on there that says past sermons. And everything I've ever preached for some 12 or 15 years is available on there. So those are the places to go to learn more about us. Our Facebook page is Island Community Church. I put daily devotions up there. Our service is streamed live on Wednesdays at 6 and Sunday mornings at 10:30. Also, our last thing is we have a YouTube channel. I encourage you to check that out. The sermons are uploaded on there, and some occasional teachings as well. I just started the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 2. That's been going on the YouTube channel. So search for Island Community Church on YouTube, and you'll find us there. Okay, let's get into the Word now. I pray you have a wonderful weekend. God bless you all. I pray that you would be in church this weekend, because that's really the best place to be if you want to hear a word from God and commune with God, is to be at His sanctuary, some place where the Holy Spirit dwells. Okay, have a wonderful weekend. God bless. I'd love to see you here at our church this weekend. Here is the intro to 2 Peter.
Because yes, Virginia, there is a devil, and when he knocks out one, there's always got to be a backup here. So grateful to see visitors today, and welcome to Island Community Church. Thanks for worshiping here today. And, you know, God's doing an awesome work here at this church, and it's good to see some new people again here today. Everything started changing for us here back when we made the decision to keep the doors open during this virus that hit. And that's been over a year ago now. Not that we have changed, but something has changed since then. And God's been doing an awesome work here at building this church and experiencing his presence when you come through the doors here. And God sending people from north, south, east, and west. And it's an awesome thing. And I'm grateful to be along for the ride and to be the pastor of this church. And I'm just grateful for that. And it's good to see so many people here today. Now, just a few years ago, we had 10 or 12 or 15 people. And we've got almost 50 today. Amen. And to God be the glory. He does great work. Does everyone have a handout? Now, I probably have spent a week in this handout. I love handouts for new books. So if you need one, please, or if you want another one, it's a two-sided handout. If you need one of these, raise your hand. We'll make sure you get one. It's in the bulletin. We've got at least 50 of them here today. Okay, we need one for this young man right here, please, Pastor, and one for Dwayne. Dwayne, you can have mine. Anybody else need one? If anyone online, if you need one, I have it on the computer and other people have it so we can email it to you. If you want a handout for where we're going to be in the next 3 or 4 weeks in 2 Peter, just leave a comment on here and we'll see that comment and I'll make sure that you get one here coming up. So, okay, 2 Peter. There are more problems with this book. That is, some people think that this book is a forgery. Matter of fact, let's pray before we even do anything, okay? Lord, we ask for your blessings now in these studies here in Peter. Fill us with wisdom and insight. Illuminate your light on your word. Help us to understand what we're going to be reading starting here this morning. Speak to us through your word. We know your word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. We know your word is alive. Lord, we come to you with open hearts, with open ears. Help us to be doers of your word. And not just hearers. When you show us today what things that we lack, show us how to get them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. As I said, some people think that this book is a forgery due to its literary styles are different than 1 Peter. But if everyone is open in your Bible to 2 Peter, I have an easy answer to that objection, and that is that look at who penned 1 Peter. In chapter 5, the last chapter of 1 Peter, maybe on the same or opposite page of where you're at, chapter 5, verse 12, it says this. Peter says, by Silvanus, or that's Silas, remember Paul's old traveling companion, by Silas, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you, briefly, exhorting and testifying, this is the true grace of God in which you stand. You see, Peter's, the man was called an amanuensis. They wrote the letters for them. Even Paul did not write the book of Romans. If you read the last chapter, Paul let the guy who wrote Romans greet everyone. He said, I, Tertius, who wrote this letter, say, what's up, y'all? How you doing? Or as they say in Jersey, how you doing? Now, the thing with 2 Peter is he didn't have time for that. He didn't have time for that. We believe Peter himself wrote this letter with his own crooked hand, and he was upset, and he was spontaneous. And the story goes that he went down to Office Depot, but Office Depot wouldn't let him in because he didn't have a mask. So he had no pen. You know what? I'm in pretty good company. Don't worry, Pete. They won't let me into Office Depot either. So anyway, Another problem is that somebody copied somebody. Peter, 2 Peter and Jude are the same in many places. So either Jude is short for Judas. Judas was Jesus' half-brother. And James was his half-brother. The book of Jude is short for Judas. So either Jude copied Peter or Peter copied Jude. Either way, I don't see what the big deal is. What's the big deal with quoting another source when you're writing someone? People do it all the time. But the thing is that Jude wrote after Peter had died. So if Jude came first, then 2 Peter is a forgery. But we believe that Peter came first and then Jude. All right, 2 Peter, here's the intro. You've got some on your handout. You got a lot on your handout. 1 Peter deals with problems from the outside. 2 Peter deals with problems on the inside. And this is what happens when these issues go from outside to inside the church. This is what happened. 1 Peter, they were on the outside. But now here the problems are on the inside. It's just like a church, maybe that's not doing well. So they don't know what to do. So they read Rick Warren's book, A Purpose-Driven Church. And the book says, don't mention words like cross or church. Those are old words. And get rid of the cross that's on your church. That's old school. You don't need to do that. So change the name of your churches to like fellowship and grace. And that's why you've seen a lot of changes in some churches, because they followed a book that tried to get people to modernize what they do. And now you got the problems on the inside of the church. Now you start ordaining homosexuals into the ministry, and you get sin inside the church. And when the problem used to be outside, now you got the problems inside. And that's what's happened here in the course of 5 years or whatever. Peter writes to warn the believers about false teachers that are peddling damaging doctrine. He begins by urging them to keep close watch on their personal lives. The Christian life demands diligence in pursuing moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and selfless love. By contrast, the false teachers were sensual. They were arrogant, greedy, and covetous. They scoff at the thought of future judgment, and they live their lives as if the present would be the pattern for the future. Now, Peter reminds them that although God may be long-suffering in sending judgment, ultimately it will come. In view of that fact, we believe we should live lives of godliness, blamelessness, and steadfastness. Again, 1 Peter deals with persecution from the outside. Here in this letter, the problem has crept into the church. False teachers inside the church and compromise. That'll do it every time. When you compromise a godly principle, when you compromise to add more people into the church. You know, I run a radio station as well in Cocoa, and there's a guy on the radio that tapes a $50 bill under a chair. And he gets on the radio and he says, you sit in the lucky seat, you win $50. Now, I'm old enough to remember Groucho Marx with the ducks that comes down here. And he'd say, sit in the magic lucky seat, win $50. Now you got pastors doing that at church. Sit in the lucky seat and you win $50. Those are gimmicks. That's what Peter wrote was coming. He said in the King James, he says, beware when they make merchandise of you. Some churches down in South Florida, some pastors sell their flock. They sell their congregation to someone else. That is making merchandise of you. And that had crept in here to the church. Okay, also, we're going to look at here interpretive challenges. I like to do that with every book. What are some of the difficult passages that we might have a hard time understanding? You'll see them on the back of the handout. The most important challenge is to correctly interpret chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, which says there, holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It's very important to have a sound view of the Bible's inspiration. That's the first thing to know. The Bible is inspired by God. All of it is inspired. Every word of God is inspired. So that's the first interpretive challenge, is understand that for the word of God is living and active, and it's inspired by God. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Another interpretive challenge is the identity of the angels who sinned. Chapter 2, verse 4. When we get to that, we're going to find out that these angels that sinned, and there's a Greek word there. It's the only time it's used in the Bible. It's a different word for hell. The word is Tartarus. Why Peter used it, or chose to use that? We're going to dig into that. Who are these angels? Who are these angels that got cast into a special place of hell? What was their sin? What did they do? We need to have a proper understanding of that. We'll look at that in the coming weeks. Well, 2 Peter's only 3 chapters, so. Another might be, if God is not willing that any should perish, then why are people going to perish? If it's not God's will that any should die, why are people going to die? Isn't God's will always carried out and fulfilled? There's another interpretive challenge. How do you interpret that? What's the correct way to interpret that? That's chapter 3. We'll get to that here coming up as well. So that's what we got looking forward to here in 2 Peter. Now let's get started. It's 11:20, and I'm just starting my sermon. Sorry for you visitors. No, I promise not to keep you too long here today. Someone else, another pastor friend of mine, was listening to my show on the radio last week when I told Sharon to go burn that sucker down, speaking of the clock. He goes, I got to try that in my church. Burn that sucker down. Okay. Peter's dealing with a group called Gnostics. And what's known as, now this is a big word, it's antinomianism. Now, nomos is the word for law. So, it speaks for itself here. Antinomianism are those that believe that since we are saved by grace alone, that the requirements of the moral law are irrelevant now. Meaning that since Jesus already died for our sins, who cares how you live anymore? Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. Jesus already died for all your sins. What does it matter how you live? That was antinomianism sweeping the first century. And then this group, Gnostics. Gnosis is the Greek word for knowledge. Gnostics taught that in addition to believing in Christ, that one must receive the gnosis, or esoteric knowledge. Peter's going to refute this lie by stressing the fact that they already had received the true knowledge. Okay, let's move on to the first portion here of 2 Peter. Verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and of our Savior Jesus Christ. All right, right off the bat, even the word, the name Simon is not correct. Simon, his name is Simeon. Now, for those that remember their Old Testament, even all the family, even all of Jesus' family, listen to these names. James, you know what James's name is in Greek? His name is Iakob. I-A-K-O-B, meaning what? Jacob. Or else Jesus' mother. You know, you always get confused when you see his mother Mary and Mary's sister Mary. Well, I got some shocking news for you today. Jesus' mother was not named Mary. Her name was Miriam. Jesus' name himself. The Hebrew name for Jesus, does anyone know what it is? Yeshua. Yeshua is the same name as Joshua. Which is why whoever wrote the book of Hebrews dropped the ball in chapter 4 when they said if Jesus had given us rest, there'd be no need for another. No, he wasn't talking about Jesus. He was talking about Joshua. But they got the same name. So these are famous names. Simeon was one of the 12 sons of Jacob in the Old Testament. And his brother Jacob. And their mother Miriam, Moses' sister, Miriam. Okay, Simon Peter. Servant and an apostle. Instead of servant, let's say slave or bondservant. It's the Greek word for slave, the word doulos. They all say it. Peter, Paul, James, John, Jude, they all considered themselves slaves of Jesus Christ. Slave and an apostle. So, yes, Betty, I'm sorry, but slavery is in the Bible. I've heard it before amongst my liberal friends and people I hear on the radio. Well, I don't believe in the Bible because there's slavery in the Bible. Right, there is slavery in the Bible. But I got something worse than that to tell you. You are a slave. You are a slave. Where's that in the Bible? I'm glad you asked. Romans chapter 6, verse 16, it says, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves as slaves to obey, you are that one's slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness." You are a slave of someone here in this world. So yeah, there's slavery in the Bible, but worse than that is you are a slave and you need to make the choice. Who do you want to be chained to? Without Jesus Christ, you're chained to sin. With Christ, you are chained to righteousness. That is, you're compelled to do good. You can't help it. You're chained to righteousness. You're like, what good can I do today? Who can I do? Who can I help today? Who can I minister? What good can I do on planet Earth today? When you're chained to righteousness. You're compelled to do good. You can't help it because you are chained to righteousness. You're going to have to serve somebody in this world. All of these guys who wrote the New Testament consider themselves slaves. And I just want to show you, so are you. You're going to have to serve someone in this world. Me and Darren were singing a song earlier. It might be the devil, or it might be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Slave and apostle. An apostle, apostelos, means to send out, but he was sent out as an eyewitness. For instance, look at this great verse we'll look at next week, verse 16. 2 Peter 1:16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter was an eyewitness of his majesty, which is why he was an apostle. And you're not, and I'm not, and neither can you be. Because an apostle was an eyewitness of Jesus Christ. An apostle knew the color of Jesus' eyes. I hear people call themselves apostles all the time. You need to know the color of Jesus' eyes for you to be an apostle. Where's that in the Bible? Acts chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 1. Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus, Paul said. That's the whole message of being an apostle, is you were an eyewitness. Eyewitness of the risen Savior. Okay, verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue. Great verse. God's divine power has given unto you all things. You lack nothing. No spiritual gift, no special power or anointing. God has given to you, God's divine power has given to you all things that pertain to life, that is life in the here and now and the life to come, and godliness speaks for itself. You have what it takes now to live a godly life. You're not in need of it. You already possess it. You lack nothing, church. I've heard it said before, well, you lack this or that, or you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit because you lack the power, people like to say. I've heard that 100 times. If you are a Christian, church, you lack nothing. Nothing. Paul wrote in Colossians 2:10, we are complete in him. Everything you need is already deposited on the inside of you, or is yours for the taking. Everything you need. One more time. His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That is how to live right. I can tell if you've been baptized by the Holy Spirit when I look at how you treat your wife. There's my evidence. It's not whether or not you speak in another language. It's how do you treat your wife. That's all the evidence this old boy needs. How do you treat your wife?
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Be with us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
I haven't been able to find a way to articulate.